Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Heritage Church Palm Sunday. We thank you so much for tuning in today. On Palm Sunday, there's a special emphasis on worship and praise to Jesus because he's so worthy of our worship and praise. There was a very poor woman known as Aunt Betty who loved the Lord with all of her heart, and her cup of joy was just always overflowing. Everybody that knew Aunt Betty, her family, her friends, her neighbors, they knew there were three words they could always count on hearing her say. And those words were, "Praise the Lord." Every Sunday at church during the preaching, multiple times, Aunt Betty would just shout out, "Praise the Lord." But it really bothered her pastor. It caused him to kind of get off the mark of his lesson and lose his concentration. And he decided he needed to do something about it. Well, Aunt Betty was a poor lady. So when he visited Aunt Betty, he had two brand new beautiful blankets. And he presented those blankets to Aunt Betty and said, "Now, Aunt Betty, if you'll let me give you these blankets, I would appreciate it if in exchange for these blankets that you'll no longer shout out, 'Praise the Lord,' during the sermon. And just sit quietly. You can say 'Praise the Lord' in your heart, but I would really appreciate it." And she agreed to that. She said, "Okay." So as the weeks went by, every time the pastor was preaching, Aunt Betty sat quietly in the pew, never shouting, "Praise the Lord." But one Sunday, a visiting evangelist came to minister. And this evangelist was preaching a wonderful sermon on the blessings and the joy of our salvation. It was a mighty anointed preaching. And as Aunt Betty sat there, she just couldn't take it any longer. Suddenly she stood up in that church and shouted, "Blankets or no blankets, praise the Lord." And it's a reminder for all of us the importance of giving praise to God. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 150 and verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. So as we begin this worship service today on Palm Sunday, let us just begin, all of us pausing in our homes and wherever you may be watching or listening, and give praise and worship to the one who's worthy of our praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to come together today and worship. This is not the ordinary method of coming together, but we're together. And Father, we praise and give you thanks for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the hope that you put in our hearts today. We praise your name. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would minister spirit upon spirit in every part of this worship service today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come ahead, Sherry.
Good morning. Can I just tell you how much I have missed preparing and looking at recipes for breakfast for Sunday morning for all of you? It's quite a joy for me to do that. And, of course, Wednesday night making the cookies, I've been lost without doing that too. But as soon as we get back together, we will all have a wonderful time eating again and fellowshipping with one another. Today we and the choir, I wanted to say how much I miss the choir so much. I miss all of you. If you're watching it, I miss all of you. And I promise the song we have practiced for Easter, we will sing. We'll act like it wasn't Easter when we get back together, and we'll still all sing that together. But today is a special guy's man's birthday that's in the choir. His name is Coy Watkins. He is 85 today, so I want to start off this morning by singing a happy birthday to him. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you every day. May you find Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Amen. We love you, Brother Coy. The joy of the Lord is my strength this morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He heals the broken. He gives me living water and thirst no more. He gives me living water and thirst no more. He gives me living water and thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will sing how great is our God, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. God is so great. Beautiful hymn at the cross.
The burden of my heart rolled away.
I'm learning to live on Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him. Oh, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus.
Amen. Amen to those words of that song, to be like Jesus. And the other song, learning to lean, learning to lean. Are you learning to lean on Him today? If you're leaning on anything else, you're going to be so disappointed, because Jesus is there. He's certain, He's real, and He's there for us today. We pause now today to go to the Lord in prayer on behalf of the prayer list in our Heritage Church. We have these individuals that are sick in body that need a touch from God, and some of you there that are watching and listening may have special needs as well. We thank God for the privilege of prayer. We thank Him for the power of prayer. As we go to prayer today, let us remember our president and all the leaders of this great nation as they battle this pandemic. Let us remember to lift up all of the doctors and nurses and healthcare workers all across America. Many of them putting their own lives at risk, serving those that are sick. Many of them that have caught this disease themselves. Let us lift them up in prayer. All the special folks involved in the fire department, police department, and others that are doing their best to help protect us and to meet needs at this urgent time. We also want to lift up Inez Hitchcock as she continues to heal. Eugene Burton, we lift up him, and Margie and Eugene both. We just thank God for this precious couple, and we know that God is with you, Margie and Eugene. And Eugene, I pray you're feeling better. Gabe Tuma, recovering from heart surgery, and Tim Hodder, who's been back in the hospital dealing with some issues in his body and needing a touch from the Lord. Our missionary Chris Exley is battling cancer. Peggy Warren and Kayla McCaslin, Marie Risley, Marilyn Mills. Our hearts go out to Marilyn today. Marilyn relocated to a new care facility this past week. Marilyn, I want to reassure you, it doesn't matter where you are, God's with you. His son Jesus is there to comfort you and give you strength. And we're praying for you. Kelly Mayer, Bill and Jan Mayer's daughter, battling cancer. We lift Kelly up today. Emmy Ford and Martha Llewellyn. Martha is battling cancer. And our missionary for the month of April is our missionary in Germany, Sharon Reeves. And we remember all of our missionaries, that many of them have come back home off the mission field, and many of them there in the field still serving the Lord and sharing the hope of the gospel. Remember all of those. Join me in prayer now as we pray for these needs of our church family. Father, I again thank you for the wonderful privilege of coming before your throne in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the fact that when we pray in the name of Jesus and we come to you, you hear us and you answer and you meet needs and you send miracles. Father, you reach down into homes and give healing and help to those that are hurting. Father, I pray today for all these that are sick in body on our prayer list, that you'd touch them and give healing and hope and comfort to them. Father, I pray for all the members of our church and visitors and others that may be watching this worship service that are dealing with uncertainty, anxiety, and facing things in life that we hadn't imagined until this pandemic, this disease came upon us. Father, I pray, let your peace fill hearts today. Let your Holy Spirit give comfort today. Jesus, just enter rooms and give a wonderful spiritual hug, so to speak, to those that are alone, that need to hear from heaven. Oh, Father, we thank you now for hearing our prayer, meeting all these needs. And we praise you and we ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Many of you have got the email that I sent out indicating that it is our custom to partake of Holy Communion on the first Sunday of each month, and this being the first Sunday, I thought it would be appropriate for all of us together to worship the Lord in Holy Communion. I encourage you to have a cup of juice handy and some bread, and to follow along with us as we all do this together in worshiping and following the ordinance of Christ in communion. I'm reading now from 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you partake of the bread with me now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you thanks today. We thank you, Lord, because we remember your sacrifice on the cross. We remember you willfully, in obedience to the Father, gave your life as remission for our sins. And I thank you, Jesus. We praise you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Would you partake of the cup with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the shed blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Oh, thank you for that blood, the blood that washes our sins away white as snow. Thank you for the blood that brings remission of sins, that brings the wonderful covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you today. We thank you for that sacrifice. Praise your name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I pray that everyone is staying safe. I pray that all are doing their best in this troubling times to follow the guidelines we've been given. And once again, I'm standing here in an empty church. And that's a challenging thing. It's a challenging thing for all of us because this is not our normal way. But I know this, that through this wonderful technology, we can still come together. We can break the bread of life. We can sing and worship and take the Word of God into our hearts. And I pray it's a blessing to you. I want to encourage you. If you need help in any way, if you need prayer, please call on us. Please give us a call or send us an email and let us know. We'll be there. We're your servants. We're your pastors. We love you. And we want to be there for you in these times. So today we go to the Word of God on this Palm Sunday. We go to the Word of God in Luke's Gospel. It's Luke chapter 19. We'll begin reading in verse 29, and we'll read through verse 40. The Palm Sunday sermon is focusing on the triumphal entry of the King, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. So I begin reading in verse 29. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. By the way, Mark's gospel makes reference not only to clothes, but also palm branches. Then in verse 37, "Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him," Jesus, "from the crowd. And they said, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Oh, praise God for worship. Praise God that he's worthy of our worship today. Jesus Christ is the one great personality of all ages. He's the one who demands the attention of the world. He simply cannot be ignored. He cannot be overlooked. All of history, sacred or secular, revolves around Jesus. He is the greatest figure of the past. He's the greatest figure of the present. And Jesus is the greatest figure of our future. Other men have swept across the country and the world. The horizon of history is filled with famous names such as Caesar, Alexander, Napoleon, Aristotle, Socrates. In the United States, we have Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson and King, all historical figures. And all of them, you can either take them or you can leave them. But not so with Jesus. He must be reckoned with. Every person who comes into this world must deal with him. And one day, every person in this world will answer to Jesus. He is more than just a great man who died 2,000 years ago. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the Savior of all who put their trust in him. He's the coming King who will someday sit in judgment upon all men. Ignore him if you like. Overlook him if you can. But someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus knew God's will for him. He knew why he came to this world. He knew that he only had a few days left as he entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He knew the hour was approaching when he must finish his work on this earth by dying on the cross for you and me. At times he had kept his mission secret. But upon his triumphal entry into Jerusalem that day, there was no longer a need to do this. The Lamb of God would not come into Jerusalem on this day privately or silently or unnoticed. Before he dies, every eye will be fixed upon Jesus. The crowning act of his life on this earth, the giving of his life, must take place when and where all the world can know about it. On this day, on Palm Sunday, he rides a donkey into Jerusalem. He's presenting himself to the crowd as their Messiah, as their King. As we've read in the scripture earlier this morning, he sent two disciples into a village to find a colt, a foal of a donkey, tied at a certain place. And a saddle of clothing was placed upon the donkey, and Jesus rode into Jerusalem seated upon that animal. A great crowd had formed, and they were before him spreading out garments and palm branches, and they were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the one in the highest!" The multitude declared, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Well, let us take a moment this morning and look at several lessons from his triumphal entry into Jerusalem that day. Number one, first we learn that Christ had a perfect knowledge of all things. He knew where the donkey would be tied. He knew what the owners would say. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. He sees you and I in the brightness of the midday. He sees us in the blackness of the midnight. You can get away from anyone in the world. You can go to the end of the world if you like. But Jesus still sees you, and he knows all about you. His eyes are on you and me this very morning. He sees the concerns in our hearts. He sees the anxiety that we're facing. He sees us dealing with an unknown sickness and death even all around us. But he reminds us that he's with you and me right now today, that we're not alone in this. A farmer went into his neighbor's field late in the night to steal some potatoes, and he took his little boy with him. When the farmer got into the field, he looked all around. He looked north and south and east and west, and then he began to fill his bag with the potatoes. Well, his little boy ran up to him and says, Daddy, you forgot to look one way. You forgot to look up. Oh, but we must never forget to look up. Jesus knows all about us. He's ready to help us, to comfort us, to encourage us, and to lead us through these troubling times. Secondly, we notice how prophecy was fulfilled to the minutest detail in the life of Christ and his crucifixion. 450 years before this day, Zechariah had prophesied that Jesus would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. In fact, I'm reading Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah prophesied exactly how it would occur 450 years before it happened. Sadly, many people today ignore prophecy. There are some pastors that make light of it. The prophecies of his first coming were fulfilled exactly as they were foretold, and the prophecies of his soon second coming will happen exactly as the prophecies declare in the Bible, in God's Word. And I'm thankful for that. In this Palm Sunday story, we see that people came. They all came from all around, taking their branches and their clothes and laying them out ahead of Jesus. Now, these weren't the religious folks, the religious leaders. They weren't the leaders in the temple. They weren't the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No, these were just the common folks. See, all the really religious folks, they hated Jesus. But the common folks, they were the ones that came out to greet Jesus that day. In fact, the Bible tells us in Scripture, it says, the common people heard him gladly. Oh, praise God for that. It's true. Jesus does draw men of every life, of every station in life, of every walk in life, men and women both. But as a rule, prominent people, successful people, rich people, are so taken up with the world, they're so taken up with their success, they're so taken up with the money, they're so taken up with themselves, that they generally have no time for Christ. You see these famous folks in Hollywood, you see them in the entertainment business. You see them in politics. You see them as the CEOs of great nations in America. But very few of them are known as active, Bible-believing, born-again Christians. Oh, they have wealth and fame. They have popularity. But someday all of those things are going to be gone. And they will go out into the miseries of eternal night and suffering because they hadn't trusted in Jesus. It's true, the majority of Christians today are just everyday folks, regular folks, the common folks. But I'll tell you, they're the salt of the earth, and someday they will reap a rich reward in heaven for trusting in Christ. Well, in the gospel story, in Luke's gospel, we see the common folks prepared themselves for the coming of Christ. They heard He was coming, and they got ready to meet Him. Have you heard that Jesus is coming back? Are you ready to meet Him? Just as every detail of prophecy was fulfilled that day, as Christ rode that donkey into Jerusalem with shouts of worship and praise, every detail of prophecy was fulfilled, and I want to tell you this, every detail of prophecy regarding His coming back will absolutely come true because Jesus is coming back for you and me. His coming starts with the great catching away of the church, what we refer to as the rapture. Jesus will step out on a cloud, a trumpet will sound, and He'll call all of us who've trusted in Him as our Savior, He'll call all of us home to be with Him in heaven. In 7 years, through the great tribulation on the earth, we'll be with Christ in heaven. Then He'll come back to this earth, and He'll bring you and me with Him, and we'll rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. The Bible tells us, if we're paying attention, it tells us over and over again, Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we know He's coming soon. You look around the world today, and everything that is happening is a sign, it's a warning that He is coming soon. Are you ready? If you haven't accepted Him as your personal Savior, you're not ready to meet Him. He's coming soon, and there's an old phrase that many Christians remember years ago. It's a phrase about keeping our lamps trimmed. It's referencing the story of the 10 virgins who trimmed their lamps at the midnight cry, declaring that the bridegroom was coming. May we keep our lamps trimmed, so to speak, and burning brightly in anticipation of the midnight cry that Christ is coming for you and me. I've often wondered, why didn't the folks of Jesus' time, why didn't they understand and recognize who He was? That He was the promised Messiah, the Son of God. I believe that most likely it's because folks just didn't pay attention to Holy Scripture. They didn't pay attention to the prophecies. Jesus came to this earth literally in person the first time. And He will come to this earth literally in person the second time. He came in humiliation in the form of a suffering servant to give His life the first time. But when He comes the second time, He will come in all majesty and glory and power. And He will reign on this earth for 1,000 years, all will be with Him. Well, the third lesson we look at on this Palm Sunday story is the humility of Jesus. He could have asked for a group of beautiful white horses and an elegant chariot to bring Him into Jerusalem. Royalty would have done that. Royalty would have demanded a pair of matching white horses and a fancy carriage. In fact, even today, if somebody famous, a great leader, was coming into town in a parade, they'd probably choose the most expensive car they could find. It'd probably be a fancy convertible. But not our Savior Jesus. Jesus was different. He didn't set Himself up as a mighty conquering king or ruler. He came into Jerusalem that day as a lowly servant. And He rode on the most homely and humble animal known in the world, a donkey. He wasn't some high and mighty, unapproachable ruler. He was humble. He was accessible. He was friendly. And that means that you and I can come to Jesus today with all of our needs. His ear is always open to our cry and to our prayers. His heart is always beating in sympathy and with compassion for you and me. The fourth thing we learn is that a man's favor and applause are fleeting things. One day the crowd shouted, "Hosanna!" And just 4 days later, the crowd was shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" That's a sad picture of human nature, isn't it? Nothing is so fickle and fleeting as popularity. It's here today and is gone tomorrow. Some folks who are loved by the crowds at one time have died in obscurity and poverty, forgotten by all. Sadly, many of the folks in the crowd that day that shouted, "Hosanna," many of those folks were not sincere followers of Christ. Many of them were merely spectators that were just caught up in the moment, in the excitement of the specific event. The world is full of folks like that today, by the way. They've heard about Jesus. They believe He's the Son of God, that He rose from the dead. They believe the Bible, but they do nothing about it in their personal lives. They just go the way of the world. They leave Jesus out of their lives completely. They only live for themselves. And Jesus has no part in their lives. There's an old legend that one day Satan called all the demons of hell together for a conference. And the purpose of that conference was to find out what they could do more effectively to steal, kill, and destroy God's creation, you and me. Well, one of the demons in the conference mentioned that, "I think we need more bars and nightclubs, you know, with a lot of drugs and alcohol. That would be a great weapon." But Satan says, "No, that's not powerful enough." Another said, "You know, Satan, hatred and malice would be a wonderful thing. Let's spread more of that." But Satan turned that one down too. And then another demon said, "Let's make all the churches really dark. And the folks will embrace the darkness instead of the light. And the world will look at those churches and they won't be able to tell the difference between a church and a nightclub." And Satan said, "Well, that can be effective, but that's not quite what I'm looking for." Then one of the demons says, "I think I know the answer. I think the answer is indifference. If we can make folks just indifferent to God, indifferent to the promises of the Bible, indifferent to the call of Christ and His Holy Spirit, if they can just be indifferent to all of it, they'll never know how lost they really are. And then we've got them." And Satan said, "That's it. That's the tool we want." And he's been using it ever since. Today, men are indifferent to their condition before God. They're indifferent to the call of Christ to repentance and faith. They're indifferent to the known fact that someday we must stand face to face with our Creator. They go on in their indifference. And in the last days, they will be in the fires of hell for eternity because they missed out on trusting Jesus as their Savior. There is only one that we can depend on. I mean, really depend on. And His name is Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've all known folks that appeared to be our loyal friends, and then suddenly, without any apparent reason, they turn away from us or they betray us. Oh, that hurts. So let our trust be in Jesus. He'll never turn away from us. He will be with us through the storms of life. He'll be with you now in this storm that we're all going through. There are a lot of great lessons, many great lessons in this wonderful Palm Sunday story of the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Think about it with me. The gates of the city of Jerusalem were opened for Jesus' triumphal entry into the city that day. They were wide open. May you and I open the gates of our hearts and the doors of our hearts and let Him come in today and be with us. Behold the Savior. Behold the Savior. He offers Himself to you. He brings with Him every good thing for now, today, and for eternity. Open your heart to Him. Open your home to Him. Open your business to Him. Christ will make a triumphal entry into your heart, your home, and your business if you'll just let Him. The nearer that Jesus came to the cross, the more evidence we see of the greatest love in heaven and on earth. How can a person reject such love? How can a Christian redeemed by His blood and saved for heaven do anything but their best for our Savior? An old sea captain who had been sailing for many years opened the door of his heart and he found Christ as his own personal Savior. The captain was a big, weather-beaten, bronzed man of the sea. A few days later, he said to his pastor who had led him to Christ, he said, "Pastor, I'm going to sea tomorrow, but never was so light a heart. I've been sailing for 50 years, but this is the first time that the great pilot, Jesus, has been with me, holding the wheel of my heart. And this will be the happiest voyage I've ever made." Is Jesus your pilot today? Are you allowing Him to guide you through the waters of this life? Is He holding the wheel of your heart? Invite Him into your heart. He'll be the best friend you've ever had. He'll walk each step of life with you, right beside you. He'll never leave you. You'll never be alone if you know Jesus. Could we have a greater Savior than our Savior Jesus Christ? Our scripture text in Luke records the response of the Pharisees when the crowds were shouting out to Jesus. And I'm reading again in verse 39. Some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But He, Jesus, answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." We cannot sit here silent today. We must cry out our praise. We must cry out our worship to Jesus, who is worthy of our worship. So we conclude this Sunday, Palm Sunday service today, with worshiping Him in song. And I've asked Sherry to come back as we conclude this worship and lead us in a couple of choruses. And I encourage you there, wherever you may be, these are choruses likely you know. Sing along with her. Sing along with us and worship Jesus. Come ahead, Sherry. Praise God.
Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. King. How
Sing that one more time, Sherry.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, your God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen to those words today. This concludes our worship service today. I thank you for tuning in and joining in with us. As your pastor, please know that we're here for you. Call on us at any time. It's our honor to serve you. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart of your wonderful commitment to the church. Every day that I've gone to the mailbox, I've opened envelopes of your tithe and your offerings. Thank you so much for continuing to support the ministry of the church with your tithe and offerings. What a great blessing it is. God bless you. Go with God. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.